Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today we're sharing an episode of Stories Pod Chats, all about some of the books that Dan and I loved to read when we were kids, right in time for all your summer reading needs. For more episodes of Stories Pod Chats and for ad-free episodes, access to all of our ebooks, or to receive a thank you in a future episode, you can check us out on patreon.com/stories. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Teo and Marcus and their family in New York, Ryan and his family in Florida, Jace and Joey and their family in Las Lunas, New Mexico, Wyatt, Beatrice, Wesley, their dog Hank, and the rest of their family in Seattle, and Henry and Haley and their family in Deerfield, Illinois. Thank you so much, Haley, Henry, Hank, Wesley, Beatrice, Wyatt, Joey, Jace, Ryan, Marcus, and Teo. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. Now, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups, do you ever want to whisk your family away on a fun and exhilarating adventure? What if we helped you make it a possibility every single week? And from the comfort of your home, car, or wherever you are. It's the Cat in the Hat Cast, a weekly podcast presented by our partners at Purina. Your pet, our passion. Fill your week with sing-alongs, laughter, and a pinch of mayhem as you spend time with the oh-so-mischievous Cat in the Hat and his cautious pal, Fish. Tune in with the whole family, including your furriest friends, because when we spend time together, the fun never ends. You'll never guess what surprises the Cat in the Hat will pull out of his hat next. Follow the Cat in the Hat Cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Hello! Welcome to Stories Pod Chats. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon.
And I'm your host, Daniel Hines. How are you doing today, Amanda?
I am okay.
We've been hanging out together all morning. No reason for me to ask, but I did. So anyways, Stories Pod Chats. And today, we thought we'd talk about some of our favorite books when we were kids. This is a question we got of what were your favorite things to read when you were younger. And we thought we'd do an episode on it. And you want to start, Amanda? Give us one of your favorite books.
Yes. So I had a hard time choosing just books, and I have gone with a couple authors. And I'm going to start with one of the old classics, Roald Dahl, because I really loved Matilda, but I also really loved The Witches, and I loved Danny, Champion of the World. There were many, many books by Roald Dahl that I very much loved. But Matilda was probably my favorite.
Matilda, also a classic movie featuring
Mara Wilson and Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
None of that's important. I was going to say featuring the Trunchbull.
Yes, the Trunchbull.
World champion.
Yes. Matilda is a book all about a little girl with special magical powers who goes to school and she has really crummy parents. And then she goes to a school where there's a really crummy principal. But then she meets a teacher named Miss Honey and things start to go a little bit better for her. And it's great.
Yeah, and there's magic. It's like magical realism. It's a really fun book. Probably if you're around our age, you've seen the movie. It's still a great book for kids. The movie holds up. It's all great.
Yeah, and other books by Roald Dahl are also really good. The Witches, which also is just recently a movie on HBO Max, and it's another like a movie from our childhood that was very scary. I don't recommend it.
The new Witches is also scary. Witches for slightly older kids, kind of scary.
All right, Dan, you're up. What's one of your favorite books from childhood that you want to talk about?
Pop quiz, hotshot. The first one I'm going to pick, the one I've selected, the one I've brought here today, with no more preamble, is A Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein. Now, this is really two books, A Light in the Attic and Where a Sidewalk Ends. I know he has others, but those were the two I grew up with.
You are surprising me here choosing a book of poetry.
Why is that surprising? I love poetry.
I thought we were doing novels, and I'm excited. So tell us all about these books.
So Shel Silverstein is really popular. He's a poet. He was like a travelogue writer, an artist. He did all kinds of stuff. But I think his best known works are, well, first of all, The Giving Tree, which we're not going to talk about today.
The Giving Tree is fine. I also enjoy The Missing Piece. I like that one better. That's also Shel Silverstein.
He has a lot of great stuff, but today I want to talk about his two books of poetry, A Light in the Attic and Where a Sidewalk Ends. And these are really kind of formative for me. I obviously write poetry still, and sometimes we write poems and songs for the show and all that. And he was a big influence. His stuff is it's all over the place. He has like funny rhyming ones and kind of more straightforward, like just silly poems that don't rhyme, just kind of non sequitur stuff.
I have, there was a poem I don't remember which one it is in, but I'm like 98% certain it is Shel Silverstein. And if it's not, you can cut this out. But there is this one poem that I memorized from one of his books that I will recite for you now because I still know it. And it goes, "We gave you a chance to water the plants, but we didn't mean that way. Now zip up your pants." Because you get it, because it's about someone peeing on plants.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's great. I have another one here.
Sorry, it's gross.
It's also a short one that I love. "A genuine anteater, the pet man told my dad. Turned out it was an aunt eater, and now my uncle's mad."
That's funny. Yeah, these are really fun. I forgot, or I'm surprised you picked these ones, and I'm enjoying it. And also, this is a book, too, that has some really cool illustrations in it. It's all, like, black and white line drawings, but they're really fun and really, like, iconic, you know, for these. They just sort of are evocative of this memory that, these books, and I think they're great.
He has a very distinctive illustration style, and it's like, once you see it once, you'll recognize it anywhere. It's really great. It really fits his poems.
Does he illustrate them, too?
Yeah, this is all his illustration.
Oh, fun. I like that.
All right, so Shel Silverstein's great. I would recommend for your kids, pick up A Light in the Attic or Where the Sidewalk Ends, or both. Both great books of poetry and illustration. And here, why don't we read one more?
Hot dog. "I have a hot dog for a pet, the only kind my folks would let me get. He does smell sort of bad, and yet he absolutely never gets the sofa wet. We have a butcher for a vet, the strangest vet you ever met. Guess we're the weirdest family yet to have a hot dog for a pet."
They're just great, silly poems, and I love Shel Silverstein, and I can't recommend him enough for all of you families out there. If you haven't already had him already, I bet you already have some books on your bookshelf by him, but his books of poetry, I think, have kind of fallen by the wayside compared to Giving Tree and stuff, and I definitely check them out.
I actually would say, too, one of our earliest episodes was a poem that Dan wrote called, I think it's Who I Want to Be.
Yeah, What I Want to Be.
What I Want to Be or Who I Want to Be. And that poem I always felt like was like very much in the style of Shel Silverstein, kind of like a tribute to him in a way.
Yeah, very Shel inspired.
Yeah, and so you could also check that out to hear Shel Silverstein's influence on Dan and his writing.
So yeah, What I Want to Be is on Spotify. We have a lot of other songs and stuff on there, some older stuff you can check out. We'll probably put a new album of the newer music on there eventually, too. But right now, you can check out the Dog King theme and What I Want to Be and some older stuff on Spotify. And of all the new episodes, too, they host a show now.
Can I go next?
So.
Can I go next?
You want to go next?
Yeah.
Well, you can, but hold on 1 second.
Oh.
So the next book we have is going to be from Amanda. I take my host duties very seriously.
I'm the host. I go first.
What's your book, Amanda?
Okay, so the next book that I wanted to talk about, another one, so it's really, I'm talking about the author, and this one I definitely know how to pronounce his name, and it is Lewis Sacker. He is, I think, probably most famous for having written Holes.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and then there's also the Sideways Stories from Wayside School
also great.
Series, which are, yes, those are very, very funny. Holes is a great book. It came out when we were a little bit older, and I think it's for kind of older kids. Sideways Stories, I don't really remember like the content of those books, but I remember laughing so hard that I cried.
And like, there's a bunch of them. They're like silly little chapter books.
Yeah, and it's all kind of weird. I don't know. Great. I should read those again. Anyway, but the book that I wanted to talk about today was, I think, a lesser known work of his called "There's a Boy in the Girl's Bathroom." Do you know that one?
No.
Okay. I love this book still as an adult. I've read it more recently because it's one of those books. Okay. You read it when you're a kid and you like get it and it's good. But then you read it when you're an adult and you're like, oh, I see what he was doing there. And really, this is a book all about learning and growing and changing. And also it's a book about therapy, which I love because I'm a therapist. I don't know if you guys know that, but I'm like a mental health clinician. And this book is a lot of, it's about a boy named Bradley who is known as like the bully in school and is known as, and he doesn't ever do his homework and all that kind of stuff. And, but he's really, really lonely. And we kind of get to see what it's like on the inside for him, like how he's actually feeling and stuff like that and why he comes across as a bully all the time. And then also we get to see how scary it is for him to sort of decide, I want to be something different and I want to do something different. And he has to make changes, and he does that, and it's scary, but he does it. And he also has a therapist at school named Carla, who helps him with that. And it's just, I think it's a really great book that, again, I loved it when I was a kid, but I love it even more now. I think it's a really, really excellent book for really anybody, any kid that is needing to kind of like grow a little bit and change a little bit. I think it's great.
Yeah, and of course that was followed up with the less successful sequel, A Koi in the Girl's Bathroom, about a fish named Bradley who learns to swim.
No, it was not. There's A Boy in the Girl's Bathroom by Lewis Sacker. Excellent, excellent book.
That's a wonderful book.
Yes.
I thought you were the host. Do you want to send it over here?
All right. Dan, what do you got for us next?
Can I get that a little more energy, Amanda? I need some...
All right, Dan, you're up. What do you got to show for us today?
Wow, I'm pretty hyped up coming into this segment. My other favorite book, and Amanda knows this, everyone knows, it's Hatchet. Hatchet is a great book. It is a tale of survival in the North American wilderness. A boy is taking a bush plane to visit his father, who has moved out to the middle of nowhere after his parents' divorce. The plane crashes, and the boy, named Brian, armed only with a hatchet, which is like a small axe, is crashed and stranded alone in the middle of the Canadian kind of Pacific Northwest woods, and he has to survive. And it's a really great book. I mean, there's nothing sort of that inappropriate in it. You can kind of read it at any age that you can read it. Just about survival and kind of self-reliance, and there's a lot of like interesting nature things and kind of, I don't know, what would you say? Like...
Honestly, so I don't really remember a whole lot of the details of this book, but I do remember, I did read it. I know I read it, in the fifth grade, because I remember the classroom and I remember the bookshelf, and it was a good book. It was really interesting. It was really absorbing, and it was, I don't really remember, he's a kid by himself and he has to figure it out. So it's a lot of problem solving and a lot of resourcefulness and resiliency. And it's also a book about like being okay with being by yourself, I think too.
It's about being by yourself, and it's also about, it really is a lot about self-reliance. It's about, there's a lot of points in the book where like, basically, you know, as a kid, because, you know, as a kid, everybody's helping you all the time, especially when you're younger. And as you get older, a lot of getting older is realizing that some things you just kind of have to step up and do yourself. And a lot of the book is about that, of him realizing that I'm alone here. And if I want to survive, I have to take responsibility for myself. And he kind of steps up and he sees like what he's capable of when he's put in the situation. And it's just a really great book.
Nice.
So that's Hatchet. I love it. Do you have another one?
Okay, yes. So in keeping with my theme of not actually choosing any specific books, but I've chosen authors.
Three for three.
Next, I have chosen a series of books. But I chose that because I knew that Dan has also read these, and that's a mutual favorite of ours. And they are the Encyclopedia Brown books.
Encyclopedia Brown.
Encyclopedia Brown. So Encyclopedia Brown is like a kid detective, and the books are all like little mysteries that Encyclopedia Brown solves. Like kids coming to him and being like, I think this person cheated in this spelling bee, but I don't know how. And then like Encyclopedia Brown figures it out. And the fun part about it is that you read the story and then you get all of the information that Encyclopedia Brown gets. He'll say that he figured it out, but then you have to also figure it out, and then you have to flip to the back of the book to know how he knew it. So you have the chance to like put all the information together and figure it out for yourself. And sometimes you get it, but a lot of times you don't, because Encyclopedia Brown is really smart.
When you get it, you feel really clever. They're really fun, and they're all, you can read them, each one in a sitting. Each book will have like 10 or 15 mysteries, whatever. Really fun for kids, fun for adults too. They will make you crazy when you don't get them right, but you feel like a genius when you do.
You do.
It's always the bully character who's guilty, but you got to figure out why.
What's his name? Bugs?
Bugs, yeah.
Bugs. I remember one of them. I don't remember the whole mystery, but I know that the answer had something to do with the tan line, like on his wrist. Like he was wearing the watch or he wasn't wearing the watch or something like that. And there was a tan line, and that was the answer. That's how Encyclopedia
Brown
knew.
Wow, you're a regular Encyclopedia Brown.
But it's always little things like that. So the whole trick of it is that sometimes he knows lots of trivia, but it's really just that he has really good skills of observation and logic and stuff like that. So it's also kind of like a good tool and a good lesson to remind you, like, look around you and see all of the things, because you might need to solve a mystery someday.
You heard it here. You might need to solve a mystery of the missing candy.
But I have one series that I want to do, one more, that is an honorable mention.
because also I really loved these books when I was growing up, and it is the Babysitter's Club books. And I know there's been all kinds of...
Are you a Chrissy or what are you?
First of all, Christy.
Christy, sorry.
That's offensive.
I really tried to get in on it with you.
No, I think that I'm probably a combination of like Claudia and Stacy. I really wanted to be a Stacy
when I was cool.
a kid.
Is she cool?
She was like a city girl. She was from New York. She was best friends with Lane Cumming, but also Lane Cumming was kind of mean sometimes. And like, but Stacy also had diabetes, which was like a thing that gave her like depth and interest. And,
oh, yeah.
Yep. And she was blonde, but she got perms because these books were written in the '80s. And she was just so cool.
I should put out Amanda's blonde with a big perm. So that's why she loves it.
I do not have a perm. So that's Stacy. I'm not really as cool as Stacy. I think I'm cool like Claudia though. Claudia was the one that was really into the arts and everything she did was really creative. She loved junk food and she was bad at school. So like a lot of other things that I connect with now.
So who would I be if I was a Babysitter Club?
Yeah, you would be Christy. Christy was the one who was the leader. She's known for being bossy.
What?
Oh, but she also has good ideas. The Babysitter's Club is her idea.
Yeah.
She's
tall,
bossy.
Handsome, strong.
Something like that.
Yeah, Christy, great.
Yeah. And there's a million of those books. So they were just like
rolling
the gifts
my sleeve
that
up to show
giving.
You my Christy tattoo.
And there's also been, you know, television shows and movies and stuff like that. But the books are great. They are still good, in my opinion, probably. I don't know the last time I read one.
I haven't read them, but everybody in my life who has loves them to death. Everybody.
And there's just so many of them. There's so many, so you never run out. Like, I am sure I haven't even read all of them.
And
but
these are,
I...
again, these 10 slightly older, maybe 10 or 11?
Yeah, I think you can read them in middle school. It's the ones, or elementary school, rather. I think that it's that thing of like, it's about kind of older kids. All of the girls are 13, except for their junior babysitters, which are Mallory and Jesse, and they're 11. And they do like mother's helper stuff or whatever. But
I remember Babysitter Club Junior, yeah, or something.
That was Christy's little sister, whose name I don't remember right now. It was that thing of like reading the books about the older kids when you were younger, but they're appropriate for younger kids. Like, it's not, I don't think that most 13-year-olds were really reading them. I feel like I read those, the bulk of those, maybe in like third, fourth, fifth grade.
I'm surprised we didn't get a mention from you of Ramona Quimby.
Oh, thank you. I should have mentioned Ramona Quimby because Ramona Quimby, I will. So Ramona Quimby books are written by Beverly Cleary, who is an incredible author who wrote a ton of amazing books for kids. She recently passed away. I think she was 104. She made such a contribution to children's literature. And I think her biggest contribution for me anyway is Ramona Quimby, who was a kid that was just kind of constantly getting into like little messes, but had like a great relationship with her mom and her dad and her sister and her friends. And you could kind of, it's a book about kind of problem solving and problem solving like awkward like social situations and things like that. And also kind of like accepting if you are maybe a little bit weird as kind of my memory of those books. And maybe what my takeaway was like, oh, maybe I'm a little bit weird, but maybe it's fine.
I was very weird.
He was. I believe that.
Hey.
I was too. I mean, obviously, but Ramona Quimby books are excellent. Those ones, I think I've told this story before, but when we used to go, my family would drive to Delaware every year for Thanksgiving, which is where my dad's side of the family is from. And it's like an 8-hour drive in the car from home in Massachusetts. And we would, it was just like, you know, miserable. Long car rides are not great, especially in like Thanksgiving traffic. It was just like kind of not that fun. But we would listen to books on tape. And one of the books on tape that I vividly remember listening to was Ramona Quimby, Age 8, was one that was like kind of a classic for me. And it's just, it has this very funny scene where she has to crack an egg on her forehead for some reason. And I remember just like laughing and laughing with my whole family. And I also remember when I was listening to those books on tape in the car, which used to literally be on tape. You would get this very, very big thing, these huge things that would have like 17 audio, like cassette tapes in them. It was very, they were very big.
Back when I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time.
But I just remember listening to books on tape in the car with my family and going like, I would like to grow up and be the person that reads books on tape. And then I did it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you get to, that's why you're great at it.
Yeah, I've been practicing for a long time.
All right, and then I'll take us out one last quick recommendation. We had a lot of stuff for slightly older kids, but for my daughter, for my money, when she was learning to read, the best series we had was Magic Treehouse. I believe it's Mary Pope Osborne.
Yes.
There's so many of them. They're all great. They're all
my
like,
brother loved those books.
Yeah, they're all just different little adventures. I know I picked up one time to kind of look at it, and I read it. I probably read it through in 15 minutes, like a short chapter book for new readers. And I mean, I just picked up to see what my daughter was reading, and I just read through the whole thing because it's like just fun, quick kind of reads, but they do a little bit of history or science with each one. The Magic Treehouse is sort of like the Magic School Bus in that way.
And but it's like mythical creatures, right? Like the Magic Treehouse, they encounter like different
sometimes maybe
creatures.
So there might be, I don't remember the titles, but it might be like, you know, the unicorn or whatever. Then another one might be a history one. Another one might be dinosaurs and
Dinosaurs After Dark, I think, yeah, is the first one maybe. Yeah.
So they go, they do different stuff.
Yeah. Those are good. I remember my brother reading those. I think they might have come out like when I was just slightly too old for them.
Yeah, and you can get all of them really cheap in like big boxes and find them used. And my daughter read like every single one, and she came out with a really great reading level and a love of reading that's kept going. So I really recommend those a lot.
Yes, and all of these books too, you can definitely find at your local library, which I recommend because I love libraries very much, and I have a lot of memories when I was a kid of going to the library with my dad and picking out books there. And that's like a big, I love the library. So, and all of these books I would have read initially from the library copy before I got to own one.
Yep. Used bookstores are great too. You can get them on Audible. Use our promo code if you want to listen to them. And you can also find a lot of audiobooks now. You can rent through libraries as well. So check out your local library. They have audiobooks too.
And ebooks.
And ebooks. Yeah, yeah, all of them.
All of that stuff.
Well, that's our book roundup. I think we both have ones we missed. I'd love to do this again sometime. Maybe get into some Calvin and Hobbes, some slightly older chapter books. But yeah, so I'd say all these are great recommendations.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we could, I mean, I think both of us were really voracious readers as kids. So I could talk about books and make long, long lists of series and authors and characters. And so maybe we'll do this again for sure, because I think that these are, We love books. We love to read. On that note, we will see you again next time, or, you know, talk to you again next time with another episode of Pod Chats. And until then, thanks for listening.
That's pretty good, but let me try it.
Oh, no.
That was Stories Pod Chats, everybody. I hope you liked the show. I'm going to throw it over to my less charismatic co-host, Amanda. Oh, and she froze up. That's just a sign of the unprofessionalism.
Less charismatic. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Bye. Well.
If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram @storiespodcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.